morning to the most wonderful people here that make up the Porter Church family. Welcome to each and every one of you this morning. Psalms 25, a couple of verses from that, reads like this. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be which transgress without cause. Wait a minute, let me back up here, Benny. Let me just start all over. Welcome to you wonderful people here. Okay. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Remember me, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for thou hast been ever of old. Remember not the sins of thy youth and my transgression. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. He's remembered us today. Let us worship him together.
For him of worship this morning, using number 191, saying the first and last verse, Biddy will ever pray. It's all same.
God, our Heavenly Father, how good it is to come together with people who love you, Heavenly Father, who desire to serve you, and Heavenly Father, and people who are blessed so abundantly by your loving hand. Well, God, you're so good to us, you're so great, Heavenly Father, you make things happen for us in such a wonderful way. You provide us with our necessary things, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for all those good and perfect gifts that comes from your hand of love. And we're here this morning, Heavenly Father, to praise you and honor and give you thanks for those, dear God. And we read this morning, we've studied in our lesson, Heavenly Father, about John being invited up to heaven in spirit and seeing all the glorious things of heaven and things that were to come. And he just sees the splendor of you, Heavenly Father. And we desire this morning, Heavenly Father, to worship you because of all the splendor that you exercise to us. And dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the people that are here this morning. Everyone that's gathered here this morning because they love you and they desire to have the Lord to work in their lives. We know that, Heavenly Father. No small too, Heavenly Father, we're here to just thank you and thank you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your love, and your salvation through Christ Jesus, your Son. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless each person here this morning, Heavenly Father, in a very special way. If there's any need in their life, Heavenly Father, help them to understand, help them to know what they might do. Help them, Heavenly Father, help things to work together good for them, Heavenly Father. All their needs be met in a wonderful way, we pray, and we give you praise for it even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
The communion hymn will be 264, saying the first and last verse.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given us, and we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless us, provide for us. We pray that you bless both the gift and the giver, may be used for the better of thy kingdom. We pray for this congregation, may they shine light in this community. We pray for the gifts when we fail it. We ask in thy name.
Thank you, Duno. Jerry is not sick. They're off to a racetrack today. It's his annual thing with the family. Judy, though, has had a little bit of something that's bothering her this week. You know, she's been taking a test and so forth for her headache and such, but she has not been completely well this week, so continue to keep her in your prayers. Okay, a couple of things to share with you, though, is this evening at 3 o'clock, His Majesty's messengers and some of the people here from the church are participating in that. It's 3 o'clock over Stamping Ground, and the theme is Higher Ground at Christian Church there in Stamping Ground, 3 o'clock. And then also at 6 o'clock tonight, this evening, we'll be going to Corinth, across the hill here to Corinth, to join in the 5th Sunday hymn sing, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then also, while we're on announcement, this coming Friday will be our fun food and fellowship night, and hopefully that we'll have a good day and good evening and be able to get our games outside and have a outside activity. And we invite you to come and be a part of that. And then also I want to recognize that we have folks here from California that we haven't seen for a while, and folks from Georgia that we haven't seen for a while. And let's see, we got some people from Falmouth we see all the time. We're glad to have them. We even got a guy here from Sadieville over there. But we're glad that each and every one of you are here, and we're glad that you folks have come to worship with us, and we're glad to see us, and we thank you for that. And did I miss somebody? I always try to watch myself because I always leave somebody out, but we're so glad that you're here to worship. We're so glad that you're here to worship the Lord God and our Savior. The announcement way, and who else is on there? Doodle, I meant to ask you about the fellow that got burnt, Ben Prey. Is he out? He's improved. All right. And Donna, also, I meant to ask you here a while back, because I noticed on my prayer list, I have these people on my prayer list, and I keep forgetting to ask them. The Shane Butler, is he? Things going well with them? You hear any about?
Oh, Shane?
Yeah.
He is back in Japan, I think.
Okay.
He's out of Korea and back in Japan. Right. But I don't know when he's going to be back to the States.
So when we talk about the service people and so forth, we're mindful of all the service people, but and also we want to remember, you know, not forget those that are in the community that are in the service and serving. Also, and let's see, okay, and then on our prayer, as we come to our prayer list and think about those folks, Virgil's son, Lane, his father-in-law is in hospice, and so things don't look, you know, it looks like that he might be going on to his reward within the next few days, so pray for that family and keep them in mind, if you will, and you had your hand up.
Well, we have a praise report. Peggy and Doodle has an anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, I remember that. But, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I was correctly reminded this morning by Robert that that's a lot of I'm sorry's.
Okay, who are some of the others that we have here that we...
Benny, this Levi, the little boy, 10-year-old boy Levi,
yes.
On here, they're not doing any more treatments with him. The cancer has just gotten that far, so just be in prayer for the family. They're not doing any more treatments for him.
So they're saying he has no hope.
We
have hope. And so let's pray that the Lord will work in a great way for that young man and bring about something wonderful for that family. All right. Our nation leaders and such certainly need to be in prayer for them as they hopefully look to the Lord for some guidance. If not, we pray that the Lord would just put into them, that the Lord will use them in a way to help this nation to be a God-fearing nation. Those who are in the care homes that can't care for themselves, always keep them in your prayers. How sad it must be to be confined, not able to be out and going, and to be like you people. You know, I can visualize this morning through all the nursing homes around and so forth that there's probably hundreds and thousands of people across this nation would like to be just where you're at this morning. And so remember those folks. They love the Lord and just are not able to be where they like to be. And you're where you like to be to praise the Lord, and God's so good. So let's pray together that God will bless them. Bless those that we've mentioned on our prayer list and those that we've made mention of. And we don't go up and down our prayer list and see what everybody, but we get reports of things happening, and we try to share that with you. But daily, pray for those folks.
For prayer
hymns,
one using 224 St. Paul verses, and Virgil will have a prayer. That's all, Sam. The invitation hymn be number 347, 347. This time the choir will bring you special.
From the
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you so very much. The question, do you know my Jesus? If you don't, you can come to know him today. He's ready and waiting. Amen. Once again, it is my privilege to be able to share from God's Word a few thoughts with you this morning. From chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, we've been in the book of Daniel and given some thoughts, and I'm just going to pick some things out of here and we'll read some few of the verses as we go along. But, you know, our world is in a pickle, so to speak, and some difficulty and so forth, and nobody can really figure out what's the problem is. And I believe if they would read the book of Daniel, they would figure that out pretty quick. I would that all of our legislators, all of our president and vice president, I think the vice president does a fairly good job of reading the scripture. I don't know how much he knows about the book of Daniel, but I wish that all that's in the leadership would get in the book of Daniel and study a few chapters of the book of Daniel, and they would realize what the problem is and that the world is faced with, what our nation's faced with. There's this one thing the world just can't get. And Nebuchadnezzar's having a hard time to understand it. And kings down through the ages, they had a hard time grasping it. The leaders of our nation, they have a hard time coming to grips with it, really. And I think that's a fair way to put it, to come to grips with it. People as a whole have a hard time understanding the very most important thing in the world. And even churches and church leaders, and I say church leaders because I believe it's true that they have over the years, they have backed down, they've held back on this one thing that could change our world. And they have not proclaimed it like it ought to have been proclaimed, and people are not as knowledgeable because it's been held back from them, I guess, because of the lack of proclaiming it. But we have, from this chapter 4, we have the answer to all our woes in the world. You know, the leaders, they don't understand the problem. And I'm not saying that because I'm smart, because I don't know, but I know the answer to the problem. And the leaders don't understand the problem. You know, problems of the world are not the economic. And it's not the financial thing. It's not the social thing. It's not the the problem with Iran and the missiles and all that stuff. That's not our big problem. The problem really is not with the Muslim tourist and terrorist, I mean. And these are symptoms. These are symptoms of the problem. And, you know, the problem is not abortion. And that seems to be a great problem in the world. And the problem is not the homosexuality. And the problem is not the sexual liberation. That's not the problem. Those are just symptoms of it. And you know, in chapter 4, I see Nebuchadnezzar. And he now has a second chance. And he has the opportunity here to change the whole pagan world there, the whole pagan world that he lived in there. As we begin in chapter 4, we see something unusual, something that we don't see much in the scripture at all. And it is that Nebuchadnezzar is writing this. This is really a letter from the king. And Nebuchadnezzar is writing to the nations there that he is actually over. He has power over. And he is writing to them. And I think the reason he is writing to them is because Daniel has been called to siphon a dream for him, and he has went through that, as we notice that as we go through this chapter. He has experienced that. He now is writing in the first person, and he is writing of the after. This has happened. What he's talking about has already happened. And he wants to inform everybody and writes this, and though this chapter is written by Nebuchadnezzar, it is a letter to the people under him and to his under rulers and so forth. And I think the reason he's doing this, one of the reasons he's doing that, is the fact that he doesn't want them to think that he went crazy. And that's really what he's been accused of, really, but or thought about. And so we see that he's writing here, and look, he begins, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto the peoples. He's writing to the people, to nations and languages that dwell in the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. And then he goes on, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. So he's been through that. This has happened. I want to tell you how and why and it happened. How great were the signs and how mighty are the wonders of the kingdom. In an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourished in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree. Well, we see Nebuchadnezzar here as he records. And he was the most powerful. He was the only king, really, of that world, of that day, of his day. He was the most powerful person on earth of that day. He was the richest person on earth of that day. And we see him, as we saw last week, he had a dream, and he was troubled, and had no peace, and he didn't learn from that. He now continues in his pride, in his boasting, in his arrogance, so forth, and he looks at who he is, what I have and what I've done, and he's troubled by that. Someone has said, I don't know whether it's true or not, but someone has told me, and I don't know how they know it, that many rich people have dreams, are troubled with dreams. I don't know that that's so. Hope it's not. But Nebuchadnezzar, he's powerful, he's rich, and he's on his bed, and he is not at resting. He's having dreams, and he is troubled by it. Now, he goes on and says, he does the same thing as he did in the chapter before. He calls all his wise men in. And he has these counselors, these wise men who knows all these things and supposed to be able to tell him. And he tells them, they come up with a dream and they back off. They back off from telling him that. They are afraid because if you remember last chapter, he told the wise men if they couldn't tell the dream and interpret it, he'd just have them all slain. And so I believe, and I'm quite sure, that these wise men knew what the dream was. Because it's a simple dream and easy to understand. And they ought to have been able to understand it and be able to tell him what it was. In fact, he ought to have been able to siphon that for himself, as Jethro says. And they didn't. They backed off. They wouldn't tell him. And wouldn't make. It says, the scripture says, that they wouldn't make known to him. That doesn't say they didn't know. It says they don't make known to him what it is. Why? Because it's a bad news. And if he gives bad news to the king liked to get good news from his counselors and good advice and be applauded by it. And if the bad news comes along, he might just behead them. And so they see this. They say, if we tell him this, he might be displeased with that. We might lose our lives. So then we see, but in verse 8, and Daniel comes in. Daniel comes along, and he knows Daniel. He's experienced Daniel. He's one of the Jews from Jerusalem. He's one of the wisest of wise men. He's the one interpreted and told him the dream, and he has set him over to the providence here. And he said to him, he said, I had this dream. I've been on a bed, and I'm troubled with it. I don't understand it, and I know that you have the spirit of the holy gods. Now, when your scripture says there, when you read there, that says holy gods, he's not referring to gods, a bunch of gods. I think the wording, and if you go back to the Greek and so forth, you'll find out that means he's speaking of Jehovah. Right there, Nebuchadnezzar speaks of Daniel, and he says to him, I know you have the spirit of the holy gods. Now, there's two things that tells me he's speaking of Jehovah there. One thing is because in past times and even now, God is referred to, the Godhead, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that could take up the S on there. But never, ever does he call his gods holy. We saw in the last chapter and so forth, we see him calling Jehovah God, the God in heaven that Daniel told him about, that reveals the secrets and the dreams. He called him holy. Never ever called his wise men, his gods, holy. So I believe he's referring just to Jehovah God. And he says to Daniel, I know you possess the spirit of the Almighty God. And you can tell me what this dream is. He said, I was on my bed, had this dream. I'm not going to read the dream because most of you have read it and know it. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to study it and read it later, today, tomorrow, sometimes. And so he tells him the dream. And you would have thought that that would wake him up. But let me say also that even Daniel has a little reluctantly here to tell him what the dream is, because he knows and has a fear, a little bit of fear of the king. And Nebuchadnezzar recognizes this. He senses and he knows that Daniel's kind of holding back, not going to tell him. And he calls him Belteshazzar. That's his name that he gave him, the Jewish boy. He gave him a Babylonian name after one of his gods. But he said, come on, Daniel. Belteshazzar. Come on, tell me. I know you can tell me. I know that you possess the spirit of the holy God, and you can tell me. So Daniel tells him. And then before he gets finished, he says to him, Nebuchadnezzar, I would you would take my advice and repent from these. In so many words, that's what he's telling him, to repent of the sins and do good toward the poor. Evidently, Nebuchadnezzar oppressed the poor, and that's part of the things that made him so rich. Daniel said that you would. And so the dream was a terrible dream. And I can understand Daniel being a little hesitant to tell him that dream. But after he told him, he said, if you would repent and honor the God in heaven, things would change for you. And in so many words, that's what he was telling him that. The king didn't take it too serious. You know, he'd been through one, and you'd thought he would go. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he's a very proud man, and he walks in great pride. And so the scripture, if we go on and look into it, it says that after Daniel had told him this, warned him and so forth, one whole year Nebuchadnezzar didn't do anything but relish in his goodness, you know. I mean, Babylon was a great place. I mean, I forget how many acres or how many miles it was around the wall. A tremendous city he had built, and great garden there that he had established, and the palace he had built, and all the things he had constructed. He even constructed many temples to his gods. And even he made the garden because of one of his wives. He made that so that she would feel at home. He brought her away from her, out of her culture, and he built a culture's place for her, really. So he did all these great things, these big things. And after the council of Daniel, he failed to recognize that. And he goes on and tells Daniel here and says that after a year here, while he's up on the housetop, up on his palace top, And he looks out over all that he did. And he says, boy, isn't Babylon great? I did this and I did that. And he just relishes in all that. Pride causes people to do that. Relish in all that they have. And he just was so taken in by himself and what he had and what he had done. And then the scripture says, at that same time, a voice from heaven fell and said, this day. And so from that day he did. For 7 years now, 7 years, he's going to live as a beast. That's hard to visualize a little bit, but when you read the scripture and know what God does, those things happen. From that day, for 7 years, this is the answer that Daniel gave him. He was going to be as a beast, and he's going to be as an oxen. He's going to walk on four. He's going to eat grass. And so he was taken in. Pride finally got him. And now we don't know what took place, really, during those 7 years. I know some people want to try to explain that away. It wasn't 7 years. But I know and I believe that the scripture says, and it refers, that's a 7 year period of time that he was there. So everything must have went pretty smooth with the kingdom. But of course, you know, who was over the kingdom, really, Daniel was the highest there. And so these things carried on. And also in that dream, Daniel told him if he would recognize the Most High God, that what would happen, he would be given back his kingdom. You would have thought that that would have alerted Nebuchadnezzar. But now this has taken place. And let's see, I want to pick up here. And he realized, when he come to realize the most important thing in the whole world. And if you don't get anything out of this message except a one line that I'll be using a couple times here directly, I hope you get it. Because it's the one thing that's most important in the whole world. And it is the answer to everything in the world, to every problem that's in the world, it's the answer to. Nebuchadnezzar comes to realize that. After he was taken now, verse 34 and 37, we get into it. And at the end of the days, and that means at the end of the 7 years, here, I, Nebuchadnezzar. Now he's explaining, remember this is a letter to the people and to the nation, and he's explaining what took place. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into the heavens. Lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He has come to realize here that the answer is what? The one in heaven, the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, here, has got his senses back, so to speak, and his reason returned unto him, and also the glory of his kingdom was given back to him. His honor and his brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven. All those works are truth, he says. So he's saying all that I've told you that took place and these things and they knew of and saw of, they're true. And the ways of judgment and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He recognizes his condition. He has held himself. He got too big for his britches. That's what Daniel really told him when he started the dream. He said, man, king, you got too big for your britches, and the God's going to take you down, and which he did. And so he explains that here, and he tells what. And he says here, Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that the one most important thing in the world was that, and that's the title of the subject, and it's on your bulletin there, that the Most High God ruleth. He recognizes that the Most High God, this God of heaven that Daniel told him about, that's the most important thing to understand and realize and know. I would say that all the politicians, if they really had that in their heart and their mind and realized that the one and only true living God rules, they would do different. And they would transact business quite different than what they do in our political arena and our leadership and such. He says, I lifted up my eyes into heaven and my understanding returned unto me, and I bless the Most High God, he says. He says, I bless the Most High God, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion. He has come to realization now who Jehovah God really is, hasn't he? He is recognizing now here who he is. And he says, the nations are in uproar. I say the nations in uproar. And I believe if they understood now what Nebuchadnezzar understands, if they would do what Nebuchadnezzar did, our world would be turned around. And so the nations in uproar, I don't have to tell you that. The news, I mean, your internet, anybody walking up down the street can tell you all the things that are happening here. It's bad news. And the problem is they're all set against God. You know, we talked last week about a certain state and another, and possibly they're against God. And look at the legislation that is being passed in the state houses, in the nation house, in the White House, and so forth. And they're against God. Years ago, they took God out of the school. They took it out of government. They've taken out, you know, and it's a terrible thing that's happened. So they failed to recognize God for who he was. And so Nebuchadnezzar's come to recognize that. And so if the leaders would, and all the assemblies here, they're just arrogant, foolish people, and they have no hope of changing anything because they don't understand the problem of the world. You know, they think the problem of the world is terrorism. They think the problem of the world is Iraq. They think the problem of the world is all the indecent stuff that's taking place. And so that's not the problem. The problem is, Nebuchadnezzar finds out right here, the problem is they don't understand that the Most High God rules in the lives of men and women, whoever, wherever you are, he rules. And if Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, if they had that now, as Nebuchadnezzar is seeing that now, if they had seen that, boy, it would have been a whole different aspect of things. If our governors and so forth, if every one of them had in their heart and mind, if he said, I come to my senses, really, I realize the most, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I have realized the most important thing in the world. And he is saying, the most important thing in the world is to know that God, the God of heaven, the one and true, only, holy God, rules in the lives of men, women, nations about. The problem is they don't see fit to acknowledge God. I mean, they're saying we can't pray here, we can't pray there, we can't use the word God, we can't use the word Jesus, we can't sing the song because it's got Jesus' name in it, we can't do. They just don't recognize, they don't see fit to acknowledge God anymore. They're ignorant of the fact. If we open up the book of Romans, we will see what Paul has to say about that. The problem of the country, the problem of the rest of the world, the problem of every nation, of every leader, every ruler, every counselor, every committee, every assembly, every group that comes together, it is a problem that Paul set forth in the book of Romans. They didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and they just did what they pleased to do. Isn't that what's taking place today? Almost, you know, the scripture says every man did what he saw right in his own eyes. Isn't this a terrible thing? You know, whatever you think is right, that's right for you. Whatever you think is right, that's right for you. Oh, no, that's not right. Not right. But people thinking that. And we get people teaching our young people, whatever you think. If that's what you think, that's right for you. What do you think that's right for you? But folks, Nebuchadnezzar realized he thought he was high and mighty when he walked on the roof of his palace and said, look what I've done and look what I've made and look who I am. And God says, today. And now he's went through that. He realizes that. You know, I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar reigned for 43 years. After his father died, he reigned for 43 years. I don't know when he died. You know when he died? I don't know when he died. And nobody tells me. I don't think anybody knows when he died. But I mean, I don't know how you can figure it out. I tried a couple of times. You can't find, you don't know when he died. But we know he died. But you know, from what I read of this chapter right here, we might see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. You see what he done? He come to realize. And you know, we don't have any more after that of Nebuchadnezzar ruling and what happened, what took place. But you can almost visualize, can you? Nebuchadnezzar is a different person. He has to be. He can't acknowledge all this without not being. So there's not much more said about Nebuchadnezzar. But really I do. I really do believe that if I make it to heaven, I'll see Nebuchadnezzar there. Very possible. Because he has acknowledged Jehovah God as the holy God. The God, I know last week, you remember, he talked about Jehovah God being one of the gods. And he addressed him as one of the many gods. And he addressed him as the most powerful God, but he never did address him as being the high and holy, mighty God that ruleth all things. But here in this chapter, he says, Nebuchadnezzar recognizes God, the almighty, holy God of heaven, ruleth all things, makes things the way he desires to do that. Though they knew God, the scripture says, and Paul tells the Romans, writes in Romans, they knew God. And you know, it's no secret. I mean, people across America, all of our leaders know God, know of God. And Paul says, though they knew God, they didn't honor God. And isn't that our problem today? Everybody wants to go their own way, do their own thing. They live their own life. And God has set forth in his word for mankind what is right, what is good, what is best for them, and what is acceptable to him. What he will bless. You know, I'm convinced that all these things that we talked about, the immorality of all things, God doesn't bless that at all, you know. God's blessings is not upon abortion. That's for sure. God's blessing is not upon all the other activities, the criminal activities that take place. His blessing is not upon her. In fact, one day they're going to suffer for that. One day they're going to be judged for that. The one thing we want to be judged about, we understand and know. And we've looked up and saw and know the Almighty God, the Holy God, the one who Daniel had the spirit within him, the one that Nebuchadnezzar recognizes here. So the world, when the nation, when our America people, and when God's people, and folks, I have to put us in there. It's not only the nation, it's not all the foreign nations, it's not all America, it's not all the criminal activity, it's not all the immoral sexuality things that's going on. It's God's people too. I think God's people is partly the blame for what's going on. We just haven't expressed, we haven't proclaimed, we haven't stood up and acknowledged the God who rules as we ought to. If we could proclaim, if we would voice out, if we would stand for the truths of God in the way that we ought to, as a church, as a nation, our world would turn around. Things would be much different. So when the world and the nation and American people, when God's people come to understand there is a God in heaven, which is the Almighty God who rules, in the affairs of men, then we will begin to experience the peace and the prosperity that comes from the blessings of the Most High God. Folks, that's it. Isn't it? I mean, am I wrong? Am I off base here? The answer to all of our problems is to recognize that God rules. God rules. And we'll all wake up to that fact someday, but I hope we wake up before it's too late. I hope, and I go back to Nebuchadnezzar. He woke up before it was too late. He come to realize before it's too late. So I want to close with this. If the Most High God, the one and only true God, recognized here by Nebuchadnezzar, the only true and living God of heaven and earth is not ruling in the affairs of your life, you could begin a relationship with him today, honoring his son, Jesus Christ, that makes it possible. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we could just, everybody up on this earth, if we could just really realize that. What is true with Jesus? It's not what's true to me. It's not true to you. It's what's true to Jesus. What is right in the sight of God? It's not what's right in my sight. My sight is what's right in the sight of God. If we would recognize that and realize God is over all things, and how the wonderful love that God has for mankind, he has done them wondrous things. We're missing out on a lot of blessings because we're not honoring as we ought to. Though they knew him, they honored him not as God and gave him not thanks. Gave him not thanks. Pushed him away. You this morning, if you do not have that relationship with God, you can have. And then I want to say this also, and I speak to myself and as well to you. If you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you have disallowed God to work in your life, maybe you've come to realize that you can be a Nebuchadnezzar. You can turn that around this morning. You can come. And God will grant back to you the things that you're missing out on, that you once enjoyed through your fellowship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. There's decisions that need to be made around this world. And there's probably decisions that need to be made in this auditorium today to recognize the one and only main thing, that is God, the mighty God, ruleth. And I want him to rule my life. And I pray that he'll rule your life. I want him to rule our nation. And I hope that they would wake up to that fact. In fact, I want him to rule this world, and he will, and he'll do it in the right and the proper way if we'll let him. And that's the way it is your life. It's the way, whether you will let him or not. This morning, if there's any need in your life, will you let Jesus take control of that? So we come to our invitation hymn, first verse only. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals of waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O Savior, come home. Oh, how I thank you folks for being in the Lord's house. What an encouragement it is to see people who love the Lord and want to serve him and want to stand up for him. And I know that you folks are here and want to stand up for what is right. And I want to encourage you as you go forth this week, just share with everybody else, you know, that the Almighty God of heaven rules, and it's going to be His way because He's got the way for mankind. Share with anybody and everywhere, everybody that you go to, will you, this week. God bless you. Might you have a great day. Hope you'll be able to come back and go with us over to the hymn sing. If not, we hope you have a great day, great week. Might God bless you in a great way. Michael, would you dismiss us in God's wonderful love?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and listen to your word. We thank you for the story of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. We ask, Father, that you please give us the courage and strength to spread your joy. We ask that you please help us in all of our trials and tribulations, and help us to recognize that you are in control of all things. And we ask that you please guide us here back next Sunday to worship your name again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.